Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show, on this Thursday, February 9th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant, and as I said, as Mr. Voiceman himself said, this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A show you can interact with in a variety of different ways. You could call in, like Mr. Voice Guy said, at 713-780-3776. You could text it, 713-780-ESPN, on the HRNP listener line. You could tweet me, at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. You can also join me on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, in our sometimes toxic Twitch chat, which is currently complaining about how I'm not interactive enough with them. I don't know. Maybe stay on topic from time to time. Hey, what are we going to talk about today? Ooh, I got an idea. How about we talk about today's NBA trade deadline, which is only a couple of hours away. And perhaps it is fitting that both Sean Mapes behind the glass and I are wearing UT regalia. Sean's wearing a sweater. I'm wearing a UT shirt. UT legend Kevin Durant traded from the Brooklyn Nets to the Phoenix Suns. I'm very intrigued to see where this goes. The Brooklyn Nets, the super team that once featured former Houston Rocket James Harden, who was the first to leave, Kyrie Irving now with the Dallas Mavericks, and Kevin Durant dead. Oh, you hate to see it. Honestly, this is a great day for fans across the NBA because it is once again proof that when these players try to create their own thing outside of with the Miami Heat and their big three, and I guess to a lesser extent the Boston Celtics and theirs before, when you try to play GM as a player, very often what looks great on paper won't work out. And I know, player empowerment, blah, 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 blah. But I am quite happy that this thing failed as spectacularly as it did. And it's nothing against Kevin Durant, who I actually like of those three, because he seems to be the one who actually brought this whole thing together. But I don't want to see players continuing to do stuff like this.
I don't want to play here.
I'm only going to play in Brooklyn, said James Harden. I'm only going to play, well, I guess I'm only going to play wherever they'll take me, said Kyrie Irving. That's at least going forward. Sean, what did you think about the deal yesterday that we saw between the Phoenix Suns and the Brooklyn Nets, where Kevin Durant is now a member of the Suns?
It's wild. It really is wild, A, that we didn't get the full, like, Kevin Durant has formally approached the Nets. It was just, oh, we'll see. No one really knows. They're having conversations with the Nets, committed, talking about the future of the franchise.
Right, there was that report, which seemed really lame. Like, Kevin Durant walks into the office and says, let's talk about the future of the franchise. My ass, he said trade me.
Yeah, exactly. technically, that is talking about the future of the franchise.
Yeah, which I ain't going to be here.
You're going to have to figure out the future of the franchise. And then credit to the Suns. The Suns' new owner took official control of the team at 11 a.m. Phoenix time on yesterday.
Really?
And by 11 p.m. Phoenix time, he did trade it for Kevin Durant.
Hey, that is a fantastic step up from Robert Sarver, who was considered by many to be the worst owner in basketball. So the actual trade itself, on a day that also saw Russell Westbrook traded to his fifth team in 5 years. Houston Rockets legend. He's on the Utah Jazz. That would be hilarious if he wasn't going to be bought out as part of a Lakers deal that acquired D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, that's going to fix things in L.A. Woo! But the actual trade itself, Kevin Durant from the Nets to the Suns, includes, per this ESPN write-up by Adrian Wojnarowski that may have been assisted by an agent, dynamic forward Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, and four unprotected future first-round picks. I think a lot of people right now are probably looking at what Raphael Stone did, trading a James Harden, who did not want to play for the Houston Rockets anymore, in a three-team deal that also involved the Cleveland Cavaliers, in exchange for draft picks that you saw in the first round, 2025 and 2027 pick swaps, plus a first-round pick last year, I believe, Sean, 2024 and 2026. So it's really three first-round picks with the option to swap two more. I'm not kissing Raphael Stone's ass for this. It's the best they could have done. It's not a bad deal by any means. I do think that some of the people who are celebrating the very soon demise of the Brooklyn Nets and their, I would assume, likely fall back to the rest of the pack, they're celebrating it as if it's this like big day for the Rockets. When you aren't good, the pick swaps don't really matter that much. So that's something that I feel like we need to pump the brakes on a little bit. In fact, I would say today, Raphael Stone, you're going to get something for Eric Gordon? Are you actually going to trade Eric Gordon, who cost the Rockets the game last night, wink? I don't know how many people actually watched the end of that game between the Rockets and the Kings, who made some progress after what they heard from Steven Silas. You know, you go from allowing 150 points on Saturday to 140 points on Monday to 130 points on Wednesday, you can see that Steven Silas is really starting to get the most out of this young basketball team, said at least one person online. But Raphael Stone, can you get Eric Gordon out of town by the trade deadline today? Are you actually going to get a decent return for Eric Gordon by the trade deadline today? We will see. This does have me thinking, though, about another topic because, let's be honest, anything that the Houston Rockets do with the trade deadline is going to be geared for the future and will largely be boring. Who are the five most tradable assets among all Houston sports figures? So we're not just talking players. We're talking coaches. We're talking general managers. I suppose we could throw owners into the mix. Hell, you could even throw in draft picks. What are the top five most tradable assets as far as sports figures go in Houston? And I'm going to give you my top five, then you get to join in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Number five, it's not Jalen Green, didn't make the cut. It's Alperen Şengün. He's just 20. And as a late first-round pick, middle of the first-round pick, he's making less than $5.4 million through 2025, barring some sort of extension, which might happen. I think the Rockets should be patient with that one. You're not sure what kind of rookie extension he'd get, but I think you have seen more potential with Şengün than you have seen with Jalen Green to this point. That could change, but this has been, I would say, as far as development goes, a largely disappointing year for Jalen Green, especially with the way that he closed out last year. Number four. Five most tradable sports figure assets in Houston. Not saying to trade these guys. I'm just saying that these guys are would get you the most in return. Kyle Tucker, Astros right fielder. He has shown potential to be one of the game's best hitters, and he is technically under team control until 2026. But it stands to reason he's going to want a massive contract. Number three on this list. And guess what? It's another Houston Astro. Yordan Alvarez. Can you believe he's only 25? And this is not me saying, we need to look at Yordan Alvarez's birth certificate. No, I'm not saying that. But he's only 25, and he was baseball's best hitter for much of last year. And he's under an extremely team-friendly deal. So, yeah, he's not maybe Kyle Tucker's contract right now, but that's going to change. I imagine Kyle Tucker's going to be looking for $250-plus million. Yordan Alvarez isn't going to be making more than $15 million in base salary until 2026. And since he's primarily a designated hitter, I have him at three. But he's not bad in the field. So Yordan Alvarez is three. Number two, Kelvin Sampson, head coach of your beloved Cougs. UH is a juggernaut under his watch. And I think you do have to give Tillman Fertitta a little bit of credit for the money that has gone into that program, as things look a lot prettier in that organization than it was in the past, where there were like rats running through the locker room. But he's under team contract through 2027, and his salary never goes north of $3.6 million. I mean, you could trade this guy to the NBA, technically, if you wanted to. And then number one, and maybe this is the most controversial, as far as the top five most valuable trade assets as far as sports figures go in Houston, Christian Javier, number one for me. He is 25 years old. He was close to the top of baseball in strikeouts per nine innings and walks, hits per innings pitched, and he's under an extremely cheap team control through 2026. Is he going to get a big contract at the end? Maybe, but I tend to believe, and perhaps this is racist, that the Latin American players in the majors aren't going to play as much hardball when it comes to the contract extensions they get as, and I base it off of what we've seen with the Houston Astros and specifically Yordan Alvarez, as maybe somebody who was born in the States. So there you go. My top five most valuable trade assets as far as sports figures go in Houston. Five, Alpi Sengun. Four, Kyle Tucker. Three, Yordan Alvarez. Two, Kelvin Sampson. One, Christian Javier. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I will take a look through the chats on Twitch, which I'm sure I'm going to be really positive. On the text line as well, 713-780-3776. You can call in yourself or tweet at Gallant Says at Shawnee Mapes. Who are the most valuable sports figure trade assets in Houston? We'll discuss. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Online, at least, today has somehow turned into a, damn, look at that trade that Rafael Stone made, which involved three pick swaps, 2023 first-round swap, 2024 first-round pick, 2025 first-round pick swap, 2026 first-round pick, and the 2027 first-round pick swap. But don't forget, the pick swap this year, it is completely worthless. The Rockets are going to have one of the three worst records in basketball. The Nets are not, barring an epic collapse down the stretch, and I just do not see Brooklyn catching Houston the rest of the way. Now, it would be nice if both of those teams were in the 14% range, because then all of a sudden, okay, now you have a better shot at getting Victor Wembanyama at the top of the lottery. But I do think some people need to calm the bleep down when it comes to praising Rafael Stone online. This is not a straw man army. There are enough people out there, and this generally has to do with the way that online NBA fans are, which I think is tremendously irrational, always looking at things through rose-colored glasses. But you will pat your team and yourself on the back for what you see right there, which is really like, it's the best the Rockets could do. It's not something to celebrate. They traded away a former MVP for first-round picks and some pick swaps. They did not get a player in return. I suppose Ben Simmons was the only option, but Cleveland was involved in that trade. Was there someone from Cleveland they could have gotten? Probably not, because Harden's not going to Cleveland.
Well, they could have gotten Jared Allen. That's really, because that's why Cleveland was involved in the trade, was because Houston didn't want to pay Jared Allen because his contract was about to come up. Really, the best part of the James Harden trade was that they just didn't take the Philly deal. That was the best part, because Philly was the kind of like the leader of like, oh, they can actually offer the most. You know, they can offer the same amount of picks. And then at the time, young star Ben Simmons, like 6 months later, that was a freaking disaster. But and funny enough, They eventually were traded for each other the next year.
That is really funny that that happened that way. Should they have – could they have found a way, I guess is the better question, to actually get Jared Allen involved in that deal? Harden probably would have had to go to Cleveland or something actually good.
No, you could just not involve Cleveland and just gotten James
Allen
Harden.
Afterwards.
No, okay. Jared Allen was on the Nets.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, okay. I thought he was on Cleveland. Okay.
He got traded from the Nets to Cleveland.
That makes sense. Okay. Sorry. I got a little bit twisted there. Okay. So you should have gotten at least one player in return. And if you're scared to pay players at this point, then when are you ever going to pay players? You know? I mean, if we look at Tillman Fertitta, are we being honest with ourselves when we say we believe that this guy is at some point down the road going to be willing to write big checks? I think that remains to be seen. And I don't understand the idea of not bringing in a young player because you might have to pay him at some point soon. You're going to have to do that with everybody eventually.
Well, they probably just didn't like love Jared Allen.
Okay.
And then also it's a guy you don't love who plays center. He's not exactly the most like, you know, he's not like a star center. He's like a good defensive center and he now makes $200 million.
Okay. That makes sense. A couple other comments. That was Sean Mapes behind the glass. Raphael Stone going to host his own Rose Parade with all the flowers about to come his way. Virginia Bunweed says pick swaps still seem valuable if both are in the lottery. But that's pretty much it. And again, we're talking about, at best, a 14% chance at the number one overall pick. You want to have one of the top two picks. I get that you can find guys later on in the draft. Alperen Sengun is a great example of it. Obviously, there are many better examples like Giannis Antetokounmpo, but...
What a funny two people. Like,
I know.
You can find Sengun, you can find Giannis,
you know,
anyone.
Same kind of player based off of what you hear from people online about the Rockets who kiss this team's ass all the time. So I look at this and I just want people to pump the brakes on Stone. Let's see if he can actually get Eric Gordon somewhere and get something in return for it. He's got until 2 o'clock this afternoon to do it.
I mean, he's probably not going to – like, the most he's going to get is, like, a first-round pick in the 20s or a couple seconds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 2 at best. Like, that's probably it. Yeah.
Well, to me, what they actually need is, like, a veteran. Like, if you're going to also trade out Eric Gordon, you need, like, some veteran who can, like, kind of play.
Some veteran, okay. Yeah.
You need the
– to match contracts, right?
The Dennis Schroeder from last year. To just be a real basketball team.
I would like at least somebody here who's willing to teach these young players, if you will. It seemed like Eric Gordon is in and out, depends on the day, on that. Virginia Buttonweed asks, can we at least say the Rockets won the trade when usually giving up the star means you lose the trade? You still lost the trade. You got lottery tickets in exchange for James Harden. You lost the trade. He forced his way out of town. You automatically lose that trade every single time. Would you rather have James Harden or not have James Harden?
Would you rather have James Harden or not James Harden?
If we're being perfectly honest, I would rather have James Harden than not have James Harden. Because I hate that both there are two teams in town that are the worst in the respective sports. It is embarrassing, and it drives me crazy, and I have to... This is my job. It's my job. You know? I can't just check out like a lot of you guys can. I gotta watch this crap. Last night, awful. They lost again. But Steven Silas said they like took a step in the right direction. Okay, dude. You gave up 130 points. Four games against the Kings. 130-plus points allowed in all four games against the Kings. Who are good. Are they great? Ugh. 713-780-3776 to call. And it's also how you text in. You can tweet at Gallant says twitch.tv/ESPN975. To shift back to Kevin Durant, this is going to be the big conversation, I imagine. Maybe not this week since the Super Bowl is only a couple of days away, but on ESPN maybe next week or around the All-Star break.
When he comes back, probably.
Right.
He's still hurt.
that too. What is Kevin Durant's legacy right now? I mean, what is it? He was one of the two best players in the NBA for much of the past decade. He... obviously won finals with the Golden State Warriors. He wasn't quite able to get there with the Oklahoma City Thunder. They had that 3-1 lead. They collapsed. They weren't able to close the deal. when we look at this organization, excuse me, when we look at Kevin Durant, I don't know why I think of players as organizations all of a sudden. When we look at Kevin Durant.
The player empowerment era worked.
You're right, Sean. You're right. The player empowerment worked fantastically.
He was a co-partner with the Brooklyn Nets. They collabed for 3 years.
Right, exactly. When you go from that to a super team, to trying to create your own super team where you're the headliner, and it doesn't work out, I mean, who are you? And what are you? I think if you're Durant, you're trying to be Dave Grohl, right? You start off your career with Nirvana. Nirvana is timeless. It's one of my favorite bands. He goes off to the Foo Fighters. He is the face of the Foo Fighters. The Foo Fighters are one of the most successful rock bands ever. And they've been doing very well for themselves until, you know, the passing away of, I forget the name off the top of my head, their drummer, right? That's what I think Kevin Durant was looking for. But instead, I mean, he joined a ensemble. He was somewhat faceless in the ensemble, despite being clearly the best player in basketball. And then he goes off to do his own thing, and it falls on its face. I feel bad because he clearly cares about what other people think about him. He is way too online, as we have seen in the past. And here he is now moving to Phoenix on a team that, I guess, are the title front runners. That's at least what Vegas is saying right now. But still a team with Chris Paul on it. Still a team with Devin Booker, who I think has shown some glimpses of in the playoffs himself. We'll see. The pressure is all on Durant. And if this doesn't work out, I mean, you could start comparing him, which is messed up because we remember what you did last, to a Kyrie or to a Harden or to a lesser extent to Russell Westbrook. Like, I think that people will throw those comparisons out there. He's like the wandering hired gun. But what's he really accomplishing wherever he goes?
He's nowhere near the Russell Westbrook wandering gun.
I mean, no one will ever be that because Russell Westbrook, Rockets legend, is now on his fifth team in 5 years, and he's about to be on his sixth team. He's going to get bought out and play for probably somebody else.
And he's like the bad part of the trade. He's like they had to attach a first-round pick to get off him.
Not good. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in and text. And you can also contribute to the conversation on the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. You can tweet me at Gallant Says, or you can throw us on Facebook. We have one of those, facebook.com/Paul Gallant Sports. Coming up next, we go around the NFL. Roger Goodell gave a State of the Union, and there are a couple of things that he said along the way that tickled me. Plus, where the hell's Derek Carr going to end up? And it's really funny to see the two teams that don't have a head coach try to work their way through the rejection process. Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. So, yesterday, the redheaded hammer himself, Roger Goodell, gave his own version of the State of the Union. I am sure that as he held up the NFL's shield, he thought he was just like all the presidents, all 46 of them, that have run the United States of America. And he had patsies throughout the audience who clearly had, I don't know, slid a envelope with some money under the table. Perhaps this is a strong allegation, so that they could ask him softball questions. Someone asked him a question about the... I don't think it's a tiresome storyline. It is pretty crazy it's taken this long to happen. The fact that there are two black quarterbacks starting for both the Chiefs and the Eagles in Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts in this game. Goodell was asked about that, and he had this to say, and I really think he was trying to be a politician here. in that he's trying to get people to like really love what he had to say in response. This was probably a canned, prepared statement. This is probably a variety of reasons. Probably none of them good, because the reality is that there's such great talent at the position, black and white. And I was talking to Doug Williams about this just last week. Humble brag.
My black friend.
The pride that he has in seeing the advancements. I think there are a lot of reasons. Our quarterbacks in general. That's the field general. I think we have 11 black starting quarterbacks today. You should know that. They're some of the best leaders I've ever seen. They're extraordinary. Deshaun Watson? Good leader? Huh.
He's extraordinary.
He sure is extraordinary. People talk about their talent and their ability to run, but they are incredible leaders, including Deshaun Watson. They understand the offense. They run complex offenses, probably more complex than we've ever run in the past. Does sound a little patronizing at this point, huh? And they really add such an element to the game. What is the element? That's what I want to know. And I think our game has changed because of their talents. What talents are those? And I think the game has changed on the college level also to develop their talents earlier. And I think that's true for all quarterbacks. Here's the chef's kiss. But I just think it's another example of where diversity makes you better. Think about this league without those 11 great young quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson too. Think about the two in the Super Bowl. They make the league better. And that's what we're so proud of. That's the part during the State of the Union where everyone stands up and starts clapping. You know, you'd see the vice president, I would imagine Troy Vincent, like stand up and applaud. And on the other side, you'd have Demora Smith, the Players Association head. He would probably like have his arms folded across his chest and be frowning. Maybe he'd heckle. Apparently there was heckling that took place in the State of the Union. What was it, Tuesday night? Did not watch. Had it on mute at the gym I was at. Because I was on the Stairmaster. Hell yeah, dude.
That to me is even crazier. That you just watched it, on mute.
I mean, it's hilarious. I was watching Yellowstone.
I know you didn't.
On my phone.
You didn't put up the remote and you're like, anyone using that? Okay, good.
No, it was just up there.
I need to make sure that I can look at Joe Biden give the State of the Union.
It's a much better experience watching it that way. I'm telling you.
Yeah, because you just get. See,
you just see clapping and people and like people in the crowd are like, yeah, like over, like, I don't even know what he said, but it's funny. Wow. He said words. He didn't stumble on himself. Congrats. Hey, also from the Redheaded Hammer, Roger Goodell, he said that he wouldn't be surprised if flexible scheduling came to Thursday night games at some point in the future. Thank God they need this. I don't think it was as big of an issue as teams made it out to be about potentially changing it. The Thursday night games are what they are, you know. It's always going to be something that players, I think, dislike. But you may as well find a way to make those games better. You did it with Monday Night Football. Good. Do it with Thursday Night Football games as well. You make the change a couple of weeks in advance. It should not be that much of a logistical challenge for some of these teams. I imagine there's stadium issues and planning issues that go into it, but what, you're telling me that the billion-dollar corporation that the NFL is isn't able to fix that on the fly?
Just think of the fans, Paul.
I am thinking about the fans.
Can't make... You're planning to go to a game on Sunday, and then all of a sudden it's on a school night? Come on.
Well, and I will admit that getting to NRG Stadium on a Thursday is a bleeping nightmare. But, we have to think about Al Michaels, too. We don't want him to off himself in the middle of one of these games. We don't. He sounded so depressed this past season. He's a national treasure. We can't have that happen. We need him more engaged, and I think better games would help out. There was something, though, that Roger Goodell, dictator of the NFL, had to say that did anger me. And here it is.
Whether it's in the UK or Germany, it's just extraordinary to see the reaction of the fans. When we went to Germany, which was after I saw you in London, I don't think any of us would have anticipated the kind of reaction we got there. For our first game there, and having been somebody who was involved with American football in Germany through the NFL since 1989, it was really rewarding to see how our fan base has expanded. And we want to make NFL football a global sport.
It's not going to be a global sport ever. It never will be. Just stop with this. You're not helping out the fans here. You're helping out wealthy fans that can actually afford to travel to Germany to go watch a football game or England or something like that. But I think it's ridiculous that you take a home game away from a team so that they can go play in Europe. I think it's ridiculous. Forget the whole xenophobic side of it, which also, like, bleep Germany. Sorry. Nope. Nope. And hell, the English, enough imperialism already. I suppose that foisting American football upon them is our own version of imperialism to get back at them for the 1700s and 1600s. And that tea tax, which we'll never forget. But I hate that they're playing these games overseas. Great, it's a wonderful experience if you go. It's 6 a.m. in the morning if you don't. F that. As we continue to go around the NFL, we also heard from Demoris Smith, the head of the NFL's Players Association. He has an idea that I am 100% behind.
Who decided that it was a good idea to take your son and have him exclusively try out for the NFL's exclusive way of getting into the league, for the most part, unless you're a free agent player? You have to be invited to the combine. As soon as you show up, you have to waive all of your medical rights. And you not only have to sit there and endure embarrassing questions, and I think that's horrible, and I don't want to poo-poo any of that, but would you want your son to spend hours inside of an MRI and then be evaluated by 32 separate team doctors? Who are, by the way, are only doing it for one reason. What's the reason? To decrease your draft value. So instead of trying to think about whether we enhance a combine process, what would you want for our sons?
Look, there's a lot of logistical reasons that the NFL combine is good for the league. Because it allows all these teams to meet with one another once a year and have conversations behind the scenes that aren't reported. But the actual NFL Combine itself, I don't think it has as much value as people make it out to have. And I think that one of the things we've got to wonder about with the NFL Combine going forward is, like, what's the next step of it? Because the NFL views it as a television product. But as Demoris Smith said, it is somewhat embarrassing for those players to be out there and essentially be in their undies. And, I mean, some of them had their undies fall off while they're running the 40-yard dash. Yikes. That stuff goes down every now and then. And you got to wonder, like, does this really help teams out that much when it comes to bringing players in? I don't think it does, and I would love for the NFL Combine to just go away entirely.
The only part is, like, you can standardize, like, the actual, like, 40 times and all that stuff and, like, get official weights and heights. But, like, that you also don't have to do a full combine.
No,
that.
You don't. You can do all these regional combines, which is what Demoris Smith suggested. One last thing before we move out of our NFL segment. So, the Houston Texans have a head coach. The Denver Broncos have a head coach. The Carolina Panthers have a head coach. We're talking about D'Amico Ryan, Sean Payton, and Frank Reich, respectively. The Arizona Cardinals do not have a head coach, but they want you to know it's not them, it's everybody else. We're going to take our time. We're not going to hire a head coach until after the Super Bowl. Don't you have to have someone who wants the job to hire a coach? Because it doesn't seem like anybody actually wants that job. I guess they are down to finalist-wise, Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka and Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. But do those guys actually want this gig? Do you want to work with video game addict Kyler Murray? I don't know. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 975-925-713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well, on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can join us on Twitter at Gallant Says. You can join us on Twitch and watch me argue with people during the break and cuss at them from time to time. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Coming up next, everyone in Houston hates referees. It is what you hate the most. Perhaps with good reason after last night's Rockets game. What is the future of refereeing across all sports? We'll discuss.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. If you watched last night's Rockets game, Paul, another segment talking about the worst team in basketball. Yes, because if you watched last night's Rockets game, you might have seen the way that it ended. Here is the call of Eric Gordon gliding underneath a Sacramento Kings player who was taking what he was hoping would be a three-point attempt for the win.
Kings down, wanted a chance to win it into Fox. Fox got it off a three at the hole. He got fouled! Are you kidding me? He just got fouled by Eric Gordon! Oh, no!
Can't look at it. Can't challenge.
Are you kidding?
You can't challenge this.
That's a horrific call, man. You got to be kidding me, dude. You can't challenge it.
Well, I guess
you can't challenge it.
Well, you can't challenge it because you're out of timeout. So you already used your challenge.
You can't challenge it. That's a bad call, man.
So it was a bad call. If you watch the replay, Gordon, instead of contesting the three, basically deftly moves around De'Aaron Fox as he took that three-point shot. Does not look like he made contact with him. Fox goes to the free throw line, hits three free throws, and ultimately, the Kings won the game last night. And there are some out there who are livid about the call. Refs need to be held accountable. All of the same usual suspects online, which I do find to be funny. I really want to see the kind of flexible pretzel that some of you people out there, you pro-tankers, I worship a 14% chance at Victor Wembanyama lottery ticket as if it holds this holy intrinsic value. I now have to figure out a way to be mad at the referees for actually helping the Houston Rockets tank. How do you wake up this morning? Are you mad about the call? Are you happy the Rockets lost another game? I want to know the mental pretzels of those folks. Anyway, refereeing may be a problem across sports. I feel bad for players like Eric Gordon who get asked about it afterwards, and this is really all that they can say.
Video shows it. I knew he was going to go get the ball, and he was going to cast it up, and I'm not going to get in trouble, but that's the video will show you.
The video would show you. Now, am I wrong in thinking that maybe someone should have played defense to prevent a wide open last second shot? Fox was wide open. He just flailed wildly after he took the shot and completely missed. I don't know why he didn't just follow through on the shot. That was an open look. Anyone who's watched the replay, that's about as open a look as you're going to get at the end of a basketball game. Am I wrong on that, Sean? Like, that was terrible defense to set that play up. Fox obviously embellished, and because he embellished, the shot was terrible. But that was a wide open look. He was open. This is the NBA. I mean, get up and pull. I thought that was terrible defense at the end. And as Steven Salas after the game said, yeah, I really like that these guys are, you know, making progress. They are? Oh, I guess, well, when you allow 150 points on Saturday and 140 points on Monday, when you allow 130 points, yeah, these are steps in the right direction as you continue to play ABA basketball. But that shot was wide open at the end of the game.
I'm looking at it now. It's because Eric Gordon doesn't contest high. He does the, like, which is funny enough because Fox is left-handed. Eric Gordon's on his left, so he probably did
affected that, a little bit, maybe.
Or in that split second, he was like, well, I can't contest high because then I'll be contesting like on his hand that shooting. So I'll just do the low contest thing where I get close, kind of in his space, but not touch him. And then De'Aaron Fox, Houston area product, De'Aaron Fox, yeah, flails around. But it wasn't it was close enough. Like he was there. I mean, he was close enough to foul him, so it was pretty close to him.
It did seem though, like as far as line of sight, his eyes and the basket, he did not have anyone contesting.
Yeah, there's no one between him and the basket.
Right. But you're right.
Eric Gordon was him and the ball.
That's a good point that he was close to his shooting hand. After the game, Kelly Iko was the only person of The Athletic, was the only person, ESPN 97.5 alum, was the only person who was allowed to speak with the pool, with the actual referee after the game. That's how this works, in case you don't know. If there is a bad call at the end of any sporting event, generally one reporter gets to go and talk to the referees afterwards. Just one.
With the, like a notepad.
Essentially,
you can't film them, can't do anything.
Which is
can't
bonkers.
Record them.
Yeah. That element is bonkers, but here is what the pool report with crew chief Jadimus Petratus following the game. Question, why was the Fox three-point attempt with 0.3 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter deemed a foul? Petratus, Gordon makes illegal contact to the lower body of Fox, affecting his ability to land safely. Oh, we're doing landing zone stuff. God, what awful. Was there any doubt in the official's mind that it was a foul? And there was no doubt on the floor that the call was correct. And after post-game video review, the call on the floor of a defensive foul is confirmed. Because he stepped into the landing zone. God, I hate that the landing zone thing became a thing. It's entirely because of, what, Zaza Pachulia stepping on Klay Thompson a couple of years ago?
Stepping on Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard, my bad. Okay. But again, that moment in time happens. And all of a sudden, James Harden was the one who took advantage of that rule to a ridiculous degree with his ridiculous shooting where his legs would kick forward as if he was trying to like do some sort of like leg raise while at the gym, one of those like inclined ab machines. Anyway, it was a bad call. It's good for the Rockets, but it was a bad call. And it does lend itself to a conversation about refereeing. I do think referees have a really difficult job. It's hard. In this league, the NBA, the NFL, less so I think in baseball. I think calling balls and strikes is fairly easy. Maybe getting an out correctly is difficult, but it's tough. In the NFL, we're talking about a massive field with 22 players on it. All of them are massive. When we're talking about basketball, the court's a little bit smaller. There's less players to keep an eye on, but again, you're talking about massive human beings and things do move extremely quickly. It's a tough job. It's a job that requires training. And for the most part, to train your way all the way up to being a referee, I would imagine you have to deal with the nasty parents at a junior level, high school level, just to get to a point where you're even qualified enough to call a professional game. And then when you get to that point, it's probably not your primary job. It's probably something you do on the side for a couple extra bucks. So it's, I think, difficult to actually get tremendously qualified referees there. And then, of course, you also have the added element of now there are paid referee experts at every single major sports television network. So the supply of good referees could potentially be poached at any moment. I also think that replay has gotten to a point where now it is a bit of a detriment to the actual viewing experience. It slows the game down. It causes, I would imagine, a disruption in the flow of football games, but much more so to the flow of basketball games. The last 2 minutes of a basketball game is often unwatchable because of all the fouls and all the reviews that are called. How do you get refereeing to be better? I think you do have to just admit that it always needs to improve every single year. Roger Goodell was asked about this yesterday at the NFL State of the Union, and here's what Goodell had to say about refs.
I think for us, when you look at officiating, I don't think it's ever been better in the league. There are over 42,000 plays in a season. Multiple infractions could occur on any play. Take that out and extrapolate that. That's hundreds, if not millions, of potential fouls. And our officials do an extraordinary job of getting those. Are there mistakes in the context of that? Yes, they are not perfect, and officiating never will. But we've also had, obviously, replay and other aspects that help us address those issues to make sure they're not something that we can't correct on the field.
Sean, you were chuckling as you heard that Roger Goodell clip.
Oh, just because he's like, well, there's 22 people on the field. Any number of them could commit 7 fouls on any play. So if you multiply that, and you multiply that, there's 120 plays a game.
It's pretty good
math. And then
there's
like 1,000 games. It's like, well, yeah, they're if you're giving them credit for not calling something, then yeah, sure. That doesn't happen. They're not calling something that doesn't happen, and he's giving them credit for it.
That makes sense. Look, though, we never give a referee credit for a good call. We never do. You know, with that in mind, we only highlight the bad screw-ups, and people lose their bleeping minds over it. I think there's actually a solution for this. My question to you right now on the Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston, how much of a problem really is refereeing in sports these days? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can tweet at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass, twitch.tv/ESPN975 to join us in the chats. The Paul Gallant Show, Most Interactive Sports Talk Show in Houston.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.